America the Beautiful didn't start out as an American anthem. It was first a poem written by a teacher, actually, named Catherine Lee Bates in 1893 after a trip to Pikes Peak in Colorado. It first appeared in print in 1895. Since then, more than 60 different musical settings have been made of the words. The music we know is by Samuel A. Ward. It was originally a hymn called Materna, and it was composed before Catherine Lee Bates took her trip to Pikes Peak. Somehow, even though she didn't have the melody in her mind, the words fit the music perfectly, and it's become the version we know today. But why has this song made such an impact? Why does it have such power to move us? Well, our What Makes It So Great answer man, Rob Capello, is here to answer that question. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Fred.
America the Beautiful. This has always been a powerful song, but what have you found in this piece that makes it so powerful?
You know, it was interesting. The Sunday New York Times had a fascinating article on the fine arts response to pivotal moments of America in crisis. And it was interesting. In that article, one of the theses was that it wasn't really the fine arts, painters and sculptors, who had provided what was needed, but rather it was the popular arts, Norman Rockwell, illustrators, photojournalists. And I think something similar has been true also in music, that at these patriotic moments, the music we turn to has not been great masterworks, symphonies, and orchestral pieces by our major composers, or even anthems by our great art song composers, but actually music from the popular realm, either directly from Broadway, like Irving Berlin's God Bless America, or simple hymn tunes or stanzaic folk songs. And America the Beautiful is a perfect example. Sometimes pieces are so canonic or almost iconic that it's actually hard to look at them, you know, as music.
Yeah, this is one of those songs we learn so early on. You know, you learn the national anthem, you learn America the Beautiful, and you almost forget the meaning of it because you learn it so early on in your life.
And particularly to look at it as just a piece of music. I mean, it's obvious what makes it appropriate text-wise for patriotic purposes. But musically is something different. I couldn't quite make sense of what made it so appropriate. But first, I noticed some lovely touches. The music starts out with two groups of repeated notes, first down, a third, and then a little further, a fourth. Repeat, repeat, then again. Repeat, a little further, repeat, which makes this striding scale upwards, remember these five notes, sound so powerful. One, two, three, four, five, and then this lovely little turnaround. Then we go to do it again. Again, the same repeated notes. Repeat, repeat, leap down. Again, this lovely chord in the original. Repeat, repeat. Now, the first time we went, but there could not be more perfect text setting. This time we go higher for above the fruited plains. Couldn't be more perfect, as if it were intended. Another turnaround. Now, this is the moment, the high point of the song. We come to a unison in the original hymn. Everyone sings the same note. For Ah of America. Every other time, we've done a repeated note, O Butte, or For Perp. Now we leap up, America. That's it. That is the moment. And then, as if almost a kind of plaintive sigh, it echoes it and does it lower. America. Now, this is amazing, and I never noticed it. Remember those five striding notes on For Amber Waves? They become the bass of God Shed His Grace on Thee. And then one final turnaround. Now, this is unbelievable. And Crown My Good with Brotherhood sounds new. But I realized it's just the opening lifted up, higher, transposed. We come back to unisons for From Sea to Shining Sea, and only chords at the end. And we've been lifted up from those low notes at the beginning, down here, by the song, by Pike's Peak, by her vision of America, all the way up to here. And we finish on home, B-flat, the center of our universe, Pike's Peak, America.
It's such a simple song, but it's so powerful. And that octave leap up, America, that's the place that always gives me chills.
And the amazing thing is, That's not why it's so famous. After all those touches, what I realized was I had missed the most obvious thing of all, and this is really the key to why we need this song. When I look back at it again, and this is, again, so hard when something is so familiar, I realized there are four phrases, each of four measures. There are only two rhythms in the piece, and every single phrase is identical. Follow just the rhythm. We start off with short, long, a dot, and do it again. Short, long, a dot, then six even notes. One, two, three, four, five, six. Every single phrase of the piece is that. Follow. Short, long, a dot. Short, long, a dot. One, two, three, four, five, six. Even here. Short, long, a dot. Short, long, a dot. One, two, three, four, five, six. And we finish with short, long, a dot. Short, long, a dot. One, two, three, four, five, six.
It's so symmetrical. It's the kind of thing that an art composer might have said, no, 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 I have to break it up. I have to vary it a little bit.
And that's the key. What people want to give them a sense of comfort is to come back to do something that they know how to do, to have the universe be predictable. That's what America the Beautiful is all about. For four verses and for this brief shining moment, though the world may be unpredictable, the song is immensely predictable. Even stanzaic songs are predictable in that way. They keep traveling the same journey over and over again. There's a fantastic quote from W.H. Auden who said that great art is clear thinking about mixed feelings. America the Beautiful is not about mixed feelings. However, at certain moments like these, mixed feelings isn't what we need. It's the clarity and comfort and predictability, and that's what makes America the Beautiful great.
Pilgrim feet, whose sturdy immersion strength.